when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was telling them about his upcoming journey to Jerusalem and what that meant. But they were having none of it. They knew a better way. It didn't involve the cross. It didn't involve suffering. One of the strangest things I think that's ever happened to me as a teacher in the church happened several years ago, right here in San Mateo, when I was instructing a class of those who desired the Christian faith, and we were talking about suffering. And one of the class members, new to Christianity and the Lutheran faith, said, "I can't wait till I'm baptized and all my suffering will end." You're probably chuckling about now, and justifiably so, because you know better than that. You know that your relationship to God that has been reestablished through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit is only the beginning of suffering in this present age. Everyone in this age has been on that road where the blind man found himself. Now, I am not merely speaking of natural birth, where we were born blind from the triune God. I am speaking of a road filled with troubles and sorrows, the place where you are suffering, where you are told to suffer silently, to buck up and bear it. And even if you can't see, or can see, you don't understand. And if you understand, you are still encouraged to become victimized, to feel victimized. And suddenly you realize that you are here as a mere beggar. So I invite you this day to imagine for a brief time that you are a blind beggar sitting here in darkness. Your ears must now be your eyes. You must be trained to see with your ears, and you hear a procession approaching. You hear voices. You hear clamor and commotion, and you cry out, "What's this about?" For you cannot yet see. It's Jesus, someone tells you, and immediately you perk up. For your ears have told your mind what your eyes could not see, for you have heard of this Jesus of Nazareth, the one who makes the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. So what should be their blindness to this Jesus you propose? He is here. He's the one you've been waiting for. He is coming your way on his way to Jerusalem. Now your ears perceive what your eyes cannot, that he is passing the place where you are sitting. You hear him coming closer, and now you cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Calling it out louder and louder, so loud that the crowd is embarrassed and tries to quiet you. But you don't care. You cannot care. You cannot allow them to stop you, for Jesus is your only hope. Jesus is here, and you cannot but help shout your prayer. For you know he hears prayer, and you know that he will stop. For yours is a deeply heartfelt prayer. It is a call, a cry of anguish, one of utter desperation. It is a plea to the only one that you know can help. It is, in a sense, the voice of faith in its purest and most childlike state. It might be small and fragile, helpless and hopeless, but it is that voice that begs for the mercy of the Lord, begs from Jesus the Christ, the Savior. Come under your causes, your troubles. You cry out for mercy from the one who goes to the cross for you. Thank you. Thank you.